From a full-time vampire to a Hollywood vampire, we have one of them on the bat lines with us this morning on 93.3 WMMR, Everything That Rocks in Philadelphia. Dracky Bam Bam with a very special guest today. The man who put the guns in Guns N' Roses and the founder, great guitarist, songwriter from La Guns, L.A. Guns. Please welcome to our program, Tracy Guns.
Nice.
How you been, my long-lost vampire?
Good, playing guitar. That's all I do, and I'm raising a kid.
I hope you're raising that kid as good as you play that guitar, because you're a hell of a guitarist, Tracy Guns. And I hear you're going to bed a little bit earlier than me these days.
Yeah, I'm out by 10, man.
So we're proud to have you in Philadelphia. You're playing Kung Fu Necktie with your solo band, along with Enough's Enough. The show's fastly approaching October the 18th. You can get your tickets at kungfunecktie.com and all the information, as well as ticketfly.com for tickets. And like I said, this is your solo band, and I guess we'll know when you and Phil Lewis team up and join us again, and you come back around to Philadelphia.
Yeah. You'll know when me and Phil are coming around.
So I want to start our cool conversation right now with the most current news. How did the guy just mention you and Phil Lewis, great singer from LA Guns, come back together?
We've been doing like little one-off shows for about a year, just kind of showing up and doing gigs in like kind of strange places where we know it's already going to be packed. And then how did we end up deciding to do it for, we got a record deal, and then now we have responsibility again, so we got to do things right.
Well, it's been like a 15-year breakup between you guys, so the new chapter is going to begin, and we'll get a brand new album next summer, I'm hearing. And speaking for myself and a lot of LA Guns fans, it's definitely the right thing to have you and Phil Lewis back together. I mean, the magic and the chemistry is definitely there, and I'm so happy that you didn't abandon your post, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. No. It's good. We just did that hair fest out in L.A. We killed it. We slaughtered it. One. It was awesome.
I heard about that. You're off to a flying start again. And let's go back to your past. I do want to ask you, I'm a big Rolling Stones fan, and of course a classic rocker myself. Zeppelin and many others he worked with. Glenn Johns' brother, Andy Johns, legendary producer, engineer. You got a chance to work with him in 2001. I think it was the Wake in the Dead record. What was it like working with Andy Johns? I mean, how many great moments did you have with him and stories to be told?
Oh, I mean, that's, at that time, it was almost the reason we hired him, you know, to hear about, like, you know, all these fantastic places and people he worked with and how he did it, how his brother Glenn Johns did it. And, it just one thing after another. And he had such a great sense of humor. And he just really had magic ears. You know, I mean, that's really the bottom line is, I remember watching this Eagles documentary where the Eagles really wanted to record with the Glenn Johns because they love Led Zeppelin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Don Henley was like, hey, man, you know, can you put a microphone in front of my kick drum so it's louder, like John Bonham? And Glenn Johns told him, no, I don't put a microphone in front of John Bonham's kick drum. You have to hit harder.
You know what I mean? So, and I'm sure that's one of the many great stories.
So that's like, you know, those guys just have magic ears. You know what I mean? They'll take, you know, the best parts of whoever they were working with at the time, and they amplify that, and they make great records, you know, and it's just such a pleasure to work with that guy. And it's so sad that he died, and you know, we're all really torn up to this day about it. He was really one of our best friends in the whole music scene we've ever worked with.
Also, somebody who worked with Andy Johns, our good friend here from the Philadelphia-based band Cinderella, Eric Brittingham. And you work with Eric Brittingham, too.
Oh, man, what a cool dude. Yeah, I mean, Andy Johns. And he liked his liquor. So, you know, the more beers he had, the more stories he told. It was awesome. Yeah.
And like I said, Eric Brittingham worked with you in one of your projects, Devil City Angels with Ricky Rocket.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. Yeah, Eric is a beast, an amazing, like bass player. You know, a lot of guys, you know, they start out playing guitar and then they play bass and they're good. But, you know, Eric Brittingham, he's like, you know, really one of those kind of like Glenn Hughes style rock bass players, just plays loud and fierce and great songwriter. You know, when we were writing the songs for that album, he had so many great ideas. Just a really, really, really talented guy.
Well, that's cool to hear. I'm sure he'd be honored mentioning Glenn Hughes and him in the same sentence. It's Jackie Bam Bam, and we're here at 93.3 WMMR talking to Tracy Guns from LA Guns. One of my favorite projects that you worked on was Contraband with members of Rat, Vixen, Shark Island, UFO, and just an amazing kick-ass cover you did of Ian Hunter, Mata Hoople, All the Way to Memphis. Just blows the roof off every time I hear that song.
Thanks. It was an interesting project because how it came together is we all have the same manager, this guy Alan Kovac.
Oh.
And he was launching a new label. I think it was called Impact Records.
Mm-hmm.
And he just asked us all, hey, look, you know, you guys want to do a record? I want to launch my label. And, you know, we'll do some cover songs. And then he was also managing songwriters. So the original songs that were on that record were written by, I think, Greg Paris and some other people. I don't remember now.
Mm-hmm.
But that was an amazing experience. You know, I get to say I did a record with Michael Schenker. You know, that's really what I got out of it. Very proud moment, of course.
That's great to hear. So you guys got along well? No bitching about who's going to take the lead, who's going to take the rhythm? You played well together?
Oh, yeah. I just stood out of his way. I let him go and do his soloing first, and then I did, you know, every other hole that was left for me, I just filled it. Really cool.
Let's talk about your band, LA Guns. I mean, you gave me my look in the 80s, a vampire, dyed black hair, white makeup, nothing but black clothes all the time. How did the vampire look come to be with you guys?
I mean, that's how we really, you know, kind of formed the band.
Uh-huh.
There was an earlier version of LA Guns, like right out of high school with some different guys. But by the time I had gone through Guns N' Roses and then reformed LA Guns, I had met Mick Cripps.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was like really a Johnny Thunders looking kind of guy. And, you know, we just kind of stuck to that format. You know, we just kind of look like that. And we wanted to play, you know, this blend of, you know, sort of 70s rock and mix it with punk rock. And, you know, that was kind of our formula back then. Once we ended up getting Phil, that's really when the glue came together because, you know, his voice is so unique. We kind of stuck to that for a couple records. And then, unfortunately, we're all mature musicians and we wanted to do stuff. I mean, we made great records, you know, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, I think people really focus on those first two records a lot, image-wise, and you know, it's more trashy metal and stuff like that. But
for me personally, yeah, I saw you first. I'm like, these guys look cool. Then I heard you. I'm like, whoa.
You know, the image was what it was, you know, and people still talk about it. So I guess we did something that was interesting.
Are you still in talks with your former bandmates, Mick Cripps and Kelly Nichols?
Not so much anymore. You know, I mean, me and Mick, we were emailing for years, you know, because he still kind of had a hobby. He had built like a cool semi-vintage analog studio at his house, and he was noodling around with music and stuff. But, you know, we kept doing this, and those guys got jobs, and so, you know, it's hard to, like, really hang out. I think, you know, Kelly lives on the East Coast.
And let's talk about Mick Cripps. Is it safe to say that Mick Cripps is the Izzy Stradlin of LA Guns? Like, the secret weapon, a real cool guy?
Absolutely. You know, he was kind of, we call him the Crippler. You know, he just kind of, you know, the quiet one who wasn't quiet at all, but he came across that way. You know, probably the most diplomatic guy in the band at the time. One of my best friends. I consider, you know, both those guys my brothers.
There's a lot of talk in the press. The other guy in LA Guns, the drummer, which you don't really get along with anymore, Steve Riley. What would the Vegas odds be of you and Steve Riley performing again in LA Guns?
There's zero odds.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no way.
Not even a slight chance. Okay, because I read that he gets along with Phil Lewis, and he wants Phil to go out and do other projects. He's been teaming up with members of Wasp again, and your solo band project, your project with Phil Lewis. You know, I just can't keep up with you guys. It's like the Kardashians.
Hey, you know, you got to follow us. You got to be a real fan, then you know.
Okay. So when we see you here in Philadelphia, October the 18th, at Kung Fu Necktie, and you can get your tickets at Kung Fu Necktie. Ty.com. This will be the Tracy Guns 88 project, the 88 tour. What can we expect at this show?
Basically, it's my solo band, and this year we're doing the first LA Guns record in its entirety, and then we do some of the other stuff at the end, and then, you know, I'm like a real, like, Peter Green, Jimmy Page freak.
Yeah.
So I do, you know, a lot of these kind of like heavy blues after we get done, you know, doing that stuff. It gets kind of psychedelic and it's really good. I've been doing it all year. It's a really, really, really fun band. Really good guys.
And who are these guys you're playing with in this project?
The Rhythm Section, Shane Fitzgibbon and Johnny Martin. They're also in the new band with Phil and I.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it's pretty close.
If someone was to ask you, Tracy, what would be your favorite L.A. Guns song to play live?
Oh, man, probably Over the Edge.
Nice. You know,
that's the one where I get to masturbate the most on the guitar.
I love that album, Hollywood Vampires. I remember it came with a pair of those 3D glasses. Kiss My Love Goodbye, My Cuckoo, and the lead-off track, Over the Edge. That also showed up in the film, Point Break. You guys were definitely branching out with your sound.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Vampires is the one. And then in the set, when Phil and I go out next year, we do a little bit of everything, you know. A few things from Waking the Dead, that was the album that you were talking about with Andy Johns produced.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. It's a much heavier band now. You know, what Phil and I are doing with L.A. Guns, it's like, you know, just the heavier side of L.A. Guns. You know, we do Ballad of Jane a little bit reluctantly, but we know people love it, so we do it.
Yeah, that's one of your signature songs. You can't leave town without playing that song. And I must bring this up for my mom. Mama Bam Bam loves that song and loves the video. Can we talk a little bit about that video? I loved it. Phil walking in with the roses in his hand, and it looks like you guys are in a cemetery. Just really cool.
It's an interesting story. You know, they had gotten permits, you know, the director and the producer of the video, they had gotten permits to film that video in a church in Pasadena, California. And we all showed up, and like, you know, the caretaker of the church took one look at us and said, no way. So it left us in a bind. And somehow, you know, within a couple hours, that place where we did it at was actually Imelda Marcos's, like, L.A. home. It was actually the home where she kept all her shoes.
Oh, no way. Imelda Marcos, the famous collection of, like, what, she had 3,000-4,000 pairs of shoes? And then they were destroyed later by termites from the Philippines. Wow, you don't hear her name too often. She was like a Japanese empress. Wow, so that was her house.
So we ended up there, and we ended up, you know, very unlikely filming something in the sun, you know, all day. It was nuts. And that was the day I cut all my hair off. So, you know, that was an interesting change for the band, you know, that whole day. Yeah, I remember that day really clearly.
You're still melting from it.
Yeah, I'm still sunburned. It's still peeling.
Tracy, we could say you have a special relationship with Philadelphia. You played here many times. Saw you on the Cocked and Loaded tour at the Trocadero. Played the Spectrum with AC/DC not once, but twice in 1988 and 91. You have a favorite Philadelphia memory you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, we played there a couple times with AC/DC. You know, they used to film. They had in-house film cameras, not video cameras, film cameras at the Spectrum. And so I still have those two shows, you know, the original recordings of those shows. And just, you know, but, you know, Philly is an amazing place, man. There's some stories I'd love to be able to tell you right now.
Oh, come on, Trace. Come on. Give me one of them.
You know, just, you know, I might have met a girl on I think it's 8th Street. Is that your guys' big street? 8th Street or South Street?
South Street, yes, South Street.
I think it was South Street. I was just walking down the street. I think it was during the Hollywood Vampires tour, and just everything happened within like 20 minutes. I was like, wait, how did this happen? In a friend of mine's bar, like upstairs, we just started dancing. It was ridiculous. I was like, I don't know, I was like 24 years old or something.
Was this girl accommodated by her mother too?
No.
Okay.
It was just, it was just, you know, I'll never forget it. You know, it was like, it was one of those things where I fell in love for like 48 hours. It was crazy. It was so crazy. You know, but of course, Pure Hells is from Philly, and I was friends with Spider, the drummer. And
rest his soul.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. And I was friends with Stinker and those guys.
How cool. I never knew you were friends with Pure Hell. The first black punk rock / metal band. Lemmy championed them. And they're from our great city of Philadelphia. Pure Hell. Cool.
They always kind of made us feel home when they were there, and we were there at the same time. You know, we had, like, you know, cool place to hang, and they show us around. But yeah, I mean, the Trocadero. I played there with the Brides of Destruction somewhere, too.
Another great project you were in, Brides of Destruction with Nikki Sixx. Can we ask you what happened with that?
Well, really, Motley Crue got back together, you know, and I think that that was the right move, obviously, for Nikki. You know, we thought that we were going to be able to squeeze two records out, and it just, it happened, a year sooner than we thought. Kind of left me holding the bag there for a year. So I made another Brides record. We went out and toured, and then I had to figure out what the hell I was going to do with my life after that.
How was it working together with Nikki Sixx, and any highlights from that era of your career?
That was, an amazing experience, too. Especially then, I was the biggest Motley Crue fan. I loved Too Fast for Love and Shout the Devil. They were really influential records in my life. When the Brides played live, you know, we would do a few songs from each of those records at the end. You know, we'd do the Brides album because it was only 8 songs. And so, like, that set was like 30 minutes. And then we'd do like a mini LA Gun set and then a mini Motley Crue set. And then we played Donington, playing Live Wire in front of, 10,000-15,000 people, or way more than that, whatever it was. But it was just like the biggest adrenaline rush I've ever had in my life. It was wild, man. So cool.
Are you still in touch with Nikki Sixx? Cross paths with him these days?
Not very often. You know, he's off doing his thing with his radio show. Mm-hmm. Married, and Motley Crue's over. And, he gives me a shout out on my birthday every year. I think that's about it.
And how about AC/DC? I mean, I guess they're going to call it quits. And I mean, you saw him with Axl. What was your connection? I mean, you toured with AC/DC. You still in touch with those guys or Angus or anybody?
No, not at all. I mean, they liked us enough to take us on tour twice. You know, we did, I think it was like Fly on the Wall or whatever that album was. That was the first one in 88. Then we did that Thunderstruck tour, and we hung out with them all the time. I mean, it's cool, but it's like that. You know, when you tour with other bands, you get really close to them on the road, and then when it's over, it's kind of like summer camp. You know what I mean? Everybody goes and back to the, what they're doing on their own, and then, you don't really stay in touch. But they were definitely the nicest band I've ever toured with. I've toured with so many bands, but they were the nicest, the most accommodating, the most supportive. You know, they're just really good guys. Kind of a family-run business, too. That was what was really cool about them, too. There wasn't a bunch of, like, stinky agents, around, and bodyguards and stuff like that. They were just, like, really, really down-to-earth guys.
Back in the beginning with Axl, of course, with AC/DC, mm-hmm. and putting half the band back together now, was he difficult to work with, do you think? Trace?
No, I loved it. There came a point in time where I don't know exactly what was going on with him. I mean, I probably do, but it's not important. Mm-hmm. And it became really less about the music, toward the end when I was in the band, and more about this kind of statement, this lifestyle, this kind of shout out mentality, negative and positive. And I mean, that was cool. And like, he really found his calling, Guns N' Roses became really Axl's voice, and we've seen that through the years. He can be really reclusive, but with Guns N' Roses and being on stage and writing songs, he's really able to express himself and really connect with, millions and millions of people. I mean, I've always been really supportive since I left. I'm still supportive to this day. I mean, one of the happiest things I've ever seen in my life is seeing Axl singing for AC/DC. It's just like, wow, dude, you're singing for AC/DC. It's like, wow.
You're like his biggest cheerleader. Like, yeah, man.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we started some great shit.
Oh, yeah.
I am very proud of, everything I've done, the people I've worked with, and the ability to affect, whole culture of music. And a lot of herpes got spread because of us.
Since you brought that subject up, my good friend here in Philadelphia, used to be the bass player in Black Eyed Susan, Eric Levy, met you out at Sunset Strip Tattoo when they were filming their video in Los Angeles. He bumped into you, and he didn't realize it was your mom standing behind you. And he was like, Tracy, why don't you have a beer in your hand? And you were drinking a Yoo-Hoo. He goes, what's up with the Yoo-Hoo? And your mom smacked you in the face and goes, tell him why you're drinking Yoo-Hoos. And he said that you told him that you couldn't drink alcohol because of the medication you were on. Oh, how we used to drink them Yoo-Hoos. I mentioned that Axl being hard to work with. Do you think you're difficult to work with, Tracy?
I get bored.
Okay.
So, when I feel like, things get redundant and samey and not creative and people just start, kind of swimming in the success, it's when I check out. I'm not hard to work with. I just leave. I just get bored. And it's just like, okay, I want to do something else now. there, you know. And it's a weird thing in the public eye because it's like I'm not really a singer, you know, like Madonna or something. You know, they can go and change their style and they can do whatever they want because they're the voice of what they do. And for me, being just a guitar player, it's just I have, you know, so many interests playing the guitar that I can't just, you know, commit myself to playing metal, you know, all the time, or playing blues all the time, or playing, you know, reggae all the time.
Nice.
And that's just my career path. You know, I really enjoy working with new people and getting that chemistry going. And, you know, I've been really successful at it, you know, really putting good bands together and reaching people and having a great time. You know, the best part of my job is paid vacation all the time. You know, I mean, it's unreal.
That's a good way to look at it. Well, we have Tracy Guns on the line with us, and his Tracy Guns 88 project is coming with Enough's Enough to Kung Fu Necktie. The show will be October the 18th. You can get your tickets and all your information at kungfunecktie.com or ticketfly.com. Tracy Guns, anything else you'd like to say to your great Philadelphia fans here that adore you?
Yeah, rock and roll, man. I need 5 cheesesteaks to go before I leave. So if anybody's going to bring me some, please, man. I live on that stuff.
You got him. Trace, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to pretend to be my friend.
Jackie, right on, bro. I'll see you soon, man, for sure.